I know my girls deserve me at my best every single day. Every single day they deserve that, and I will give them that.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach J.C. Brooks, the head women's basketball coach of Northern Illinois University. Coach Brooks has built an impressive coaching resume, starting as an assistant at St. Bonaventure, where she helped guide the program to multiple postseason appearances, as well as including an NCAA Sweet 16 run. She later served as an assistant coach at Canisius College, Bowling Green, the University of Buffalo, before taking the helm as the head coach at NIU. Before NIU, she did have prior head coaching experiences at State University of New York College at Cortland. Coach Brooks is known for her ability to develop players and build strong team culture. Brooks has created a reputation as a program builder and leader who emphasizes growth on and off the court. In this episode, we discuss the first 90 days stepping into a Division I head coaching role, how to instill confidence in your players as a head coach, and unique preseason team building exercises to help strengthen team camaraderie. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach J.C. Brooks. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts here, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Today, we are joined with someone who, and before I even present it, I want to say someone we have talked with way before back in 2024 at the Final Four. We have somebody who was at the time an assistant. Now, at this point, she has her own episode, the newly appointed head coach, Northern Illinois University. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach J.C. Brooks. Coach Brooks, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Congrats again, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, so I know we always say, but thank you for taking the time out of this. Being in a new role, new head coaching role, I know we were joking before, but you have a ton of different things on your plate, a bunch of different avenues and things getting you pulled 100 different ways. But just to give a general idea of everybody. So one, she has already had a tremendous playing career, right? One of the all-time leading scorers. I want to make sure to note that too. One of the all-time leading scorers, Buffalo State, back in her career, ended up taking her through a phenomenal coaching career and so far, and then ultimately now being the head coach at Northern Illinois University. So first things first, thinking back on your playing career, okay? So are there any specifics, like any stories maybe you can think of that really stand out to you today, the impact that those coaches, that those experiences have had on you, not only as a player, but something that maybe you hope continue on now as a head coach?
Yeah, absolutely. When I think about my playing career at Buff State, I immediately think about my college coach, Coach Moss. And it was an interesting dynamic because I wasn't recruited by him to go to Buffalo State. I was actually recruited by Fred Batchelor, who eventually went to Elizabeth City after he left Buff State, was the head coach at Maryland Eastern Shore for years, and now is an assistant at Delaware. And so being able to make that transition to a university where you necessarily weren't recruited by that coach and spending time to get to know them as they are going to be your current coach. But him and I think back about our relationship, and I try to emulate that now as a coach, where he had a totally open door policy, right? Every day when I was walking to class, to from, I had 20 minutes where I was able to stop by his office and just sit on his couch. Or he would say, hey, coach, or hey, JC, let's go to lunch today. Let's meet at the student union. And it now made me realize the relationship that we had off the court and how close we were, that trust that we built affected our relationship on the court and in such a positive manner. So just being able to take that time with your student athletes is really important. And also, like I said, having that open door, like I have a couch, I have chairs where I want my players to come in and talk to me. I want to hear the good things. I want to hear the bad things. You have a great day. You have a bad day. Come talk to me. And the second thing I think about is literally the summer before my senior year, I tear my ACL in a summer league. And obviously that's devastating. You're going into your senior year, all set to graduate that following May. And all of a sudden it's, oh no, I can't play this season. He gave me different roles and responsibilities as a senior. And I remember him asking me, saying, JC, have you ever thought about coaching before? And I was, oh, no, thank you. I don't want to do this. And he's, I think you should think about it. And I was just like, it was so far from my brain of coaching. And just my experience as a player being out of season, and you learn to see the game differently. And once I went through that, and then I came back my fifth year and played my last year. And then when I was given an opportunity to go to St. Bonaventure as a director of operations, I immediately thought about that conversation that him and I had and was like, maybe I should do this. Like, maybe I should give it a try. And here we are 18 years later. So,
wow, that's wild. We were literally just talking about this the other day, that players are usually one of two things. We had Sean Butler from the Celtics played at West Virginia for Huggins and injured his knee in the Final Four. But he just said his dad was a coach. He always thought that's what he was going to do, like all the way through playing. Like he just like coaching is it. And then we've had other people on in their playing career, like you just said, like absolutely hell no. No way. So it's usually one or the other with players. We very rarely have we had somebody on that said, yeah, I thought about it. What I love what you said, and it's probably important more now than ever, because coaching doors right now are turnstiles, you know, like this, like the old turnstile in the supermarket, just because kids are coming and going so much. Yeah. So it's important now more than ever to have not just an open door, but live the open door policy, like just not say it in recruiting so it sounds good to mom and dad and the circle and everybody, but to actually live it out. One little pro tip, head coach, keep a candy jar in the office.
It's over there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
because they have some high chews.
Yeah,
over there
you go. They're, you keep the candy, and that's an automatic. So they'll be in there for that. Even if they don't particularly want to talk to you, they're going to come and get a blow pop. But now more than ever, it's important to keep seeking transformation, just because it's so transactional now. You got to really fight against the tide, and you got to swim upstream with that mindset.
And I think going along with that too, is when it's easy, we're always doing something in our office, right? Whether it's watching film, whether it's working on scheduling, doing this, returning emails. And when that player walks in your office, is giving them that undivided attention.
Yes.
It's easily, you're working and you're trying to talk, and it's no, I push everything to the side and literally clear my desk and hey, let's talk. Yeah. But it's easy to do because you're in here working on something when they stop in, and you've got to be able to stop and give them that attention.
100%. No, because that spreads like wildfire, because they're going to leave your office and they may see another player on campus and be like, hey, what have you been doing? Oh, I just left coach's office. We were in there talking about filling the blank. And so if they know that you're actually making that effort versus they come in and they sit and then you're still on the phone for another like 4 minutes after they walk in, it's a whole different feeling. So you don't want anything to get in the way of that. No, I love that.
And especially the point of more than enough people say this now, it's great to hear that at least your coach was the same way back then at Buffalo State, but always recruiting your own players too. Nowadays, it's definitely more relevant because people can immediately get up, walk out, and go hit a transfer portal and go somewhere else, especially when you were playing, going into somewhere where there's a coach that you didn't necessarily know too much about. Was there any way that, like, obviously the open door policy, going in and talking with them, was there any way that your coach then at the time was recruiting you while as you were making that transition to come into a freshman year? Was there any?
Yeah, I think so. Cause actually he had recruited me as he was an assistant at another university. So he knew who I was, and I actually ended up going to Buffalo State. So I think he knew who I was as a basketball player and knew maybe the impact that I could have there. And yeah, definitely. I think he wanted to spend time, and I was actually named like a captain as a sophomore just because of the leadership qualities and what I was able to do at Buff State. And so we just had a really tight relationship, and I just reflect back and it was just such a great experience, and I'm thankful for him.
Wow.
That's
great. Talk about and I'm not sure Doug might bring this up, but obviously you're at Buffalo and you guys had great success there. So winning does matter. we try to put out there sometimes with rising coaches, we don't ever want people to skip steps. Like, winning does matter if you want opportunities. How did the process start for you in terms of with Buffalo and then here comes Northern Illinois? Was that your first interview? Had you had interviews in the past? Talk about how that whole thing came about.
Yeah. So when you look back at my journey, I spent 11 years as a Division I assistant with my time at St. Bonaventure, Canisius, and then Bowling Green in Ohio. And after my time at Bowling Green, my responsibilities had changed. And when I was leaving there, I had a big itch to become a head coach, right? And playing Division III, I have an appreciation for D3 athletics. So when the job at SUNY Cortland had opened up, I was very intrigued by it. And I was in the same conference as Buff State, literally got my butt kicked by them for 5 years. I know the resources they were given at Cortland. And so when I took that job, I loved it. I loved my time there and was able to build a successful program. And as my time there evolved, now it was like I got that itch to become a Division I head coach. And with my experience as a Division I assistant, now head coaching experience, which we all know it doesn't matter which level it is, that it's invaluable. And so I had reached out to some like mentors and people like, looking at my career trajectory, what do I need to do to become a Division I head coach? And obviously the landscape had changed tremendously since I had left Bowling Green in 2018. So I was able to get some feelers out, and all of a sudden I get a call that Becky Burke from Buffalo is looking for an associate head coach. And the more I learned about it, I want to have somebody who's has some head coaching experience, who has sat in my seat before, has some recruiting ties at the Division I level. And I remember sitting down with Becky in our first conversation, and the more I learned about her as a coach and who she was, and I was like, I want to be a part of this. And so when she offered me the job, I was ecstatic. And I had thought, I was like, is this my way in? Mm-hmm. And then obviously I get there and we get things going. We win a lot of games. And last year, we ended up losing in the MAC championship game, but had a great run. And this year, obviously, we took care of business in the MAC, but fell short in the MAC championship, and then got that bid into the WNIT. But I will admit, when I reflect back of those 3 weeks, it was utter chaos. I think I was at the MAC tournament when the search firm first reached out to me if I had interest in Northern Illinois. And of course, I said, yeah, absolutely. So I start the interview. I think it was that following Thursday. I interview. We play the WNIT game on Sunday and we win. So I get a call from Northern asking if I can come to campus tomorrow, meaning Tuesday. And I said, yeah, but we're leaving to go to our game at Southern Indiana for our next round of the WNIT. They said, come interview Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll get you to the game by Thursday. I come interview. I felt great about it. I was excited. Go to Southern Indiana. We win that game and we're in the locker room after. So we find out Rutgers wins. Rutgers, my next scout. So I pull an all-nighter, finish up my scouting report, because we land Friday and we play them Sunday. And we land Friday, and Friday night I get a call, we want you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but I have Rutgers on Sunday. And so it happened really quick, and I was offered the position. I accepted it, and it was released on Tuesday, and we're still playing in the WNIT. And we end up playing Cleveland State, and then we play Troy that Saturday in the championship and win the championship. And the next day I fly out to Northern. But I was very happy that both administrators allowed me to do that, right? Allowed me to finish out what we had at Buffalo, yet still accepting this position at Northern and getting to work while doing both jobs. And I can remember being in my office and watching film and this and that, and making my recruiting connections with Northern, and it was chaos, but I'm so appreciative of it. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, those are good problems for sure. Yeah. What you just said epitomizes the phrase, destiny doesn't ask permission.
You're absolutely right.
Destiny never asks permission. So stuff happens and it's okay. It's whether you're ready or not, like, it's coming. Exactly. But that is a hallmark of a great administration on both sides, because that stuff can be funny. We know in this business, that stuff can be very weird.
And I'll even say, I was getting emails to my Buffalo address from Northern fans of, never thought I would say this, but go Bulls. We're rooting for you.
Exactly. Right.
So it was cool just to see, but that goes to show like how much the community of Northern Illinois know, we're into it and following and how special it is here. It just, it made me realize I made the right decision when I was receiving those phone calls, those texts, those emails.
Yeah, I've never been. Is it DeKalb? Yeah.
DeKalb. Yeah.
But I've never been there, but I have heard like consummate, like college town.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're the college and the pro team there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. That's accurate.
So the one thing I want to make sure to touch on too, and it's funny because having these conversations, like I guess saying the first 90 days of you being a head coach is ultimately when you're still an assistant coach too, for like you have a lot juggling, but we'll say after you finish with Buffalo and then ultimately start with Northern Illinois. I know there was a little minor overlap if you want to say that, but just like the first 90 days, like where's the kind of the mindset of stepping into a head coach? Now, I know you've had head coaching experience before, right? So this isn't the first time, you at least have some experience with this, but the first time being at Northern Illinois, what was the mindset of these are the first couple priorities I want to tackle?
Yeah. First and foremost was just the relationships, both with the players and the staff, right? Like first and foremost, hiring my staff, and we'll talk about that just a little bit, of making sure my number one non-negotiable within a staff is you have to be a really good human being, right? I can teach you what I want basketball wise and how to do a scouting report and this and that, but are you a good person? I want to surround myself with good people. I want to surround my players with good people. So that's the number one non-negotiable. So hiring my staff, I took my time with that just to make sure that box was checked. And I will admit, I went 5 for 5 with who I hired. And then the relationship with the players. When coming into this situation, I had 8 returners, which in the hiring process told me a lot about the foundation that they already had set here. Because we all know, usually when there's a coaching change, you walk in and the cupboard's empty. So the fact that 8 people wanted to stay here, that they were enjoying their experience at NIU, right? Where it wasn't just, this is an easy way out, right? They wanted to stay. So that meant a lot to me. And so building relationships with those players, and then obviously the recruiting stuff, being able to get some transfers in here, using my connections within that. And so those were my focus points. And probably my first 2 months. And then you talk about the summer session, which so thankful for those 8 weeks that we get with the players. And I utilized every minute of every hour within those 8 weeks that I was allowed. And that was just a focus point on my standards and my 3 standards. And I would tell the girls, I don't care if you make a shot today in practice, but the 3 things that we're going to bring every day, high level of energy, high level of communication, and attention to detail. Okay. So when you have all those 3 things every single day, the shots will take care of itself. Because you walk in and not only have 15 players, you have 6 staff members. Every single person was a part of something different last year. Right. And in some manner. So being able to teach, that's what we're bringing every day. And it might've been different from the place you were at. And maybe some things were acceptable and they're not going to be acceptable here. And they quickly learned that I am attention to detail, and we will do a drill for the whole practice, if that's what it means, to make sure we get it right. And I said, you'll learn to appreciate it someday, and it's going to take some time. But those were the 3 things that I would never let waver, you know, and there were days where we looked really good and there were days where we didn't. But those 3 things are our standard, and just getting them to understand how important those are. So those are my focus points, I would say, within those first 90 days.
Yeah, for sure. In a sense, in terms of your staff, I know you probably knew all of them on some level. Had you worked with any of your staff before?
The only one, I had one, Audra Clark. Okay. So she was actually on my staff at Cortland. So background, she played Division III. She was at a school within our conference at SUNY Oswego, and I was at Cortland. And I got very close with their head coach. We coached AU together, and I wanted Audra on my staff. And so we spent 2 years together. We won some championships. We went to the NCAA tournament. And when I actually took the job at Buffalo, I felt terrible, right? Because you work so hard together, and here I make this move. And then you tell her, and she's, oh, gosh. But I'm a big believer everything happens for a reason. And she ended up going to Bowling Green as a director of player development. So she was there for the last 2 years. So when I accepted the job at Northern, she was my first phone call. And the thing with her is she knew who I was as a person. She knew who I was as a coach. But to have somebody come in who's I've already done it with. And hers was like, coach, when do you want me there? There was no, oh, let me think about it. And a funny story with her too. She was actually in DeKalb before I actually could offer her the position. Like that, where it was like a no-brainer. But bringing her back and seeing the progression that she has made with just her 2 years at Bowling Green has been awesome. I literally watch her and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so good.
The reason I ask that is people don't realize, like, when you become a head coach, depending on how much you've worked with your assistants, you're coaching two teams for a while. And you've got to coach that team in the office at a really high level. So now you can go all coach the other team at a really high level. Yeah. But the degree to which you coach that first team is going to be reflective on how well you coach the other team and the team on the floor. So you're literally managing two teams until they really, and you're really going to be doing that for the first year with everyone else outside of Audra. And now by this time next year, they're going to be finishing your sentences.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And it takes time, you know? And
it does.
But like when you have that, just like being a good person and they all love their job. When I have like one of the biggest compliments that, you know, when parents come here with recruits and they say, your staff seems so close. And I'm like, absolutely. And we spend some time just getting to know each other. And it's important for my players to see that as well. You know, that to know how much time that we go out and grab dinner together and we're sitting out in the suite and we're just laughing. It's like, we genuinely enjoy that. I will say one of the biggest adjustments that I've had to make with now being a Division I head coach, with having a staff of five people, is just the delegation. When I was at Cortland, I was doing my receipts and I was booking the hotels and I was doing meal forms as a head coach. And you forget, okay, I can have somebody else do that. But, and it's not because it's, oh, I'm the head coach. It's because I got to put my energy and time somewhere else. But there are just some things where I'm like, I'll still do that. There's no job too big, no job too small.
Yeah. It's okay to let it go now though.
I know.
It's okay. Those instincts are still going to be there, but it is, trust me, because that's a big one, because that you're this whole, and you've been through this before, of course, but like any year one is about just clearing mind space, right? How much can I clear my mind space to actually deal with the stuff? And so you're trying to eliminate the clutter in your mind space so you can actually deal with the stuff that's like meat and potatoes that belongs in there that you really want to deal with. So anytime you can dribble hand off something to your staff and let them handle it, absolutely, because that accelerates their growth, because now they're doing stuff that maybe that they didn't do before. It helps you and it grows them at the same time.
Yeah, I've gotten better. There's still room for improvement.
You touched on how obviously the closeness of your staff, and then of course you players see that, they'd be able to expand off of that, and then it ultimately, without them even knowing it, it trickles into them as well, right? Like they can see it, not only see it, but they feel it. I saw something you did on social media, and I have to make sure to bring this up because it actually is something that I think is amazing, is team building things. And off of that, I saw you guys did a bunch of, at least from the pictures, there was like four people around a circle and there was a marker and then they all had like pieces of rope to it. And then they were trying to draw something and there were four different ways it was getting pulled. So I want to make sure to bring that up. But then there was also, even they had bandanas over their eyes. They had to go through obstacles. Can you talk about that? Because that actually looked amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to do something fun off the court, and there's a local place that does zip lining. Right. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I started to look at that and I started to communicate with this gentleman, and we offer a whole team building session. And I said, okay, so tell me a little bit more. And so we went and we spent the morning up at the zip line, and they had two people running different kind of team building activities. And they had asked, they said, do the coaches want to be involved? And at first I was like, oh my gosh, yes, because that's just who I am. And then I was like, no, I think that we need to just step back and observe, because throughout the summertime, I'm trying to figure out who are my natural leaders, right? Who leads by example, who's my biggest communicator, who kind of communicates when things get tough, when you hit some adversity, who doesn't. So I was able to sit back and watch. And the first thing that they had to do, they made like a mini field and they split up into two different teams. And the person who went in this mini field, and there were little pieces of paper spread out in little circles. If you hit a circle, right, while you were blindfolded, you had to go back to the start. So it was up to your teammates to tell you, like, okay, take a small step to the left, or no, take a big step to the right, so they didn't hit these targets. And then there were pieces of paper and they would flip it over. And if it was a picture, they could just take it to the end and it was part of a puzzle. But, or they would flip it over and it was a word. And if it was a word, they had to go to one of these like sub, I guess, like games or just things to figure out. And one of them was that dry erase board with the marker attached to the string. And their goal was to draw, it was just a simple smiley face. But you're all trying to tug and who needs to tug when, and being able to work together to achieve that ultimate goal. There were some other things where there was just like a little, what's the word? Like they had to go find things. They had to go find a bug and they had to go find maybe like a four-leaf clover and different things like that. And then the other one, they had to toot a song on this little harmonica and they had to guess it, right? But just, and then as soon as they did that task, they could go back to the mini field. And so once they got all their pictures, they each were putting together their puzzle, each separate team, because they thought it was a contest. And they kept, and they couldn't get the puzzle. They couldn't get the puzzle. And come to find out, they needed each other's pieces on each team to complete
both
the puzzle.
Teams. Yeah, both. I love it.
So getting them to realize, oh, we still need that, even though we are competing right now, but we still need each other, the pieces as one unit to complete the puzzle. So it was a fantastic experience and I would recommend it to anybody. But like I said, it was very good for me to just sit back and realize who is that dominant personality, right? Mm-hmm. And how things just, and they learned a lot about how to talk to people, right? How to talk in heavy moments, right? Your tone manners, right? How you present yourself. And it was just really like eye-opening. And then we had lunch together and then we spent the day on the ropes course and that was just fun, but you face some fears a little bit. And being a part of a team, they would get so excited for each other when somebody did have a sense of fear and they completed something on that zip line course. So it was just a really special day and it was amazing.
I saw a picture of Coach Brooks up there on the high rope walking tree to tree too. So yeah. See, yep. I know you were involved with it also, but I never would have thought of, that's a great point, being able to do something of that. I would just think of it more as just a team building exercise, but to be able to sit back as a head coach, eye up, who's your leaders, who's your more vocal people. That's a great point, right? Because truly, yes, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's definitely good advice.
Yeah. The other activity, sure, I thought was really cool was they had to build like a camping tent. So the instructors actually, they observed in the first activity who my communicators were. So in the second activity, they were the ones blindfolded. So now it left the other kids who were a little more quiet. You have to communicate to the people blindfolded. And there were two of our players sitting away with their back to the activity. And they had the instructions and it was how to build a camping tent. So they had to build this camping tent, but only the people blindfolded could build it. The people talking couldn't touch the tent. We know how hard it is to build a tent when
you can see it. Yeah, exactly.
So that was another thing that, like, now, you know, and I talked about after that of being able to step up in different roles, right? I want you to be ready to step up when, because you never know the course of a season when things happen and you may have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit to step up for your team. And because our people who usually are our biggest talkers couldn't talk. So it was just a really, like I said, fantastic day. Yeah.
That's a heck of a break to have that place in your right there in DeKalb. Take those folks some t-shirts next time you get a chance. Run some t-shirts over there.
They did. 100%.
That's awesome.
But see, little things like that too, I'm a firm believer in, not only are you getting, you're learning about who are the leaders and all of that, but then also the team portion of it. I think back, at least from my playing career, my freshman year, there was like some little event that we did and somebody did something stupid or whatever. And then you got a nickname throughout those 4 years because you did something stupid. And although it was something little, but it builds that camaraderie. And now, you know, like it gives you something to think on, stories to tell. Like I even text one of my friends who I played with today, this morning, and I was going to see him this upcoming weekend. And when I reached out to him, he sent me a joke that one of our assistants used to always tell us. And I'm just like, it's funny because, yeah, like to any other person, it'd be like, yeah, whatever. But like to us, it's a joke that we've had ongoing. And one of our assistants said it. So you can tell not only are we close, but it also has we took something from one of our assistants and something that he has continuously said. And now it's bleeding into us. So it's crazy how all that really is. It all works.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing about that too, JC, is think about, I mean, just rewind 2 months ago not just what you and your staff know about the kids, not just what the kids know about you and your staff. Think about what the kids know about each other now.
Yeah.
From 2 months ago to now.
Yeah.
And then just after going through that activity right there, just in that time of all that, it's important. It's more important. They know what about each other.
Yeah.
Okay. When things get tough, we got to be easy with her because she's
right.
Might crack. That's okay. Yeah. But
because I'm so also big on
personality thing is huge.
And that goes, I'm the thing we did, I think it was the first week of our workout, second is personality testing. And I'm a big believer of true colors because we all know there's a lot of different ones out there. And Myers-Briggs has 16 different ones, but our true colors personality has 4. And so when we did that activity and we learned who are your kids, who your feelers, who care about the emotions, and who are your competitors, and who are my organized, right? They need their daily schedule. And just realizing, and we talked a lot about, and I give this example in the recruiting process, is I can say coach you one way, Doug, and on the court, and I'm not much of a yeller. I have a little bit of tone, but I'm not screaming or anything like that. But I'm coaching you and you're ready to run through a wall. And then I can look at you, Alan, and say the same exact thing in the same tone, the same words, and you got tears in your eyes, right? Like being able for me as a head coach to understand how I need to coach each individual player to get the best out of them, right? And everybody's yes. going to be different. And exactly. So I like to spend time with that and getting to know that personality because sometimes you are who you are. And you know, but if I want to coach you so you can be the best you can be, so our team can be the best they can be, I have to learn that personality.
100%. Yeah. Now, Pete Carroll says it with the Raiders now, formerly Seahawks, former USC, but he tells his staff, learn the learners.
Yep.
That's like a phrase that he uses with his coaching staff. We have to learn the learners. And just like you said, everybody's got a button. It's like it's not always equal, but it's always fair. It's always fair, right? It won't be equal, but it'll always be fair.
You can't treat your players equally, but you can treat them fairly.
So one thing too, I know you talked of going off of what you were just saying, ultimately, like nurturing confidence in people, one, working with the personalities, but then also just nurturing the confidence in people. Cause nowadays I feel like exactly to that point, if you yell at somebody in one way, their confidence is just, it's gone. They have a wide open three and they're second guessing themselves now because like a coach yelled at them 3 possessions ago or something like that. Now that obviously is depending on the person, but you in your career as a player, just to give people an idea, held single season shooting records. So you obviously going into all of that high scoring and being one of the all-time leaders at Buffalo State, you also had single season shooting records. Was there anything that maybe coaches have done to you that maybe you do or anything that you instill now into people that you have worked with for shooting confidence in players, like for more of maybe the mental or kind of mental habit side of things?
Yeah. I talk to my team a lot, and this is just something that I've learned, I would say, as a player and then throughout my coaching career. Confidence comes from within. Confidence comes from preparation. I can sit there and another example I will share is we can go into a gym and you can tell me, coach, I know you can do this pull-up. I know you can do it. I have confidence in you. You can do this pull-up. You can do it. You can do it. I go up there, I try to do a pull-up. I'm not going to be able to do a pull-up because I haven't prepared to do a pull-up. So now a coach can tell you, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. But if you haven't been in that gym making 500 threes a day, right? I'm not sure that confidence is going to matter. So confidence comes from preparation. I'm a confident human being because I worked my butt off, right? To get where I am. So you headed into practice and you just made 200 threes before practice, I bet you walk into that practice with a little more sense of confidence than if you didn't, right? So I constantly talk about that of you want to be a confident player. You know that I have confidence in you because you're here. You are on this court, right? You are here at Northern Illinois and I'm coaching you. That should give you a confidence that I believe in you. Now, everything else, this, you've got to do that. Right now, part of that is, yes, I'm going to get down to the gym with them. If I can tell a kid is lacking in that confidence, okay, let's get some shots up, right? I need them to see the ball go through the net. And then I'm going to talk about, you just made X amount of shots before practice. Every open shot that you get today, shoot the ball, right? Shoot the ball. And that's my perspective. And I've even, when I was at Cortland, I had a really good shooter. And there, sometimes coaches will just maybe take players out of the game because they're not making shots. If my shooter, if they pass up a shot that I felt they should have took, you're still coming out, right? Your job is to shoot the ball, right? That's an open look for you. Shoot it, right? Now go back in. But that's the confidence I want you to have, right? Is you get that open look, knock that down. But my players know that now. And we talk about that in huddles but it is hard because they'll go to my assistant and coach doesn't have confidence in me. Coach doesn't have confidence in me. But my assistants know, let's get in the gym. Let's see that ball go through the net, right? Because you've got to have confidence within yourself before the coach has confidence.
Yeah, 100%. No, I wear Doug out with this phrase, and I know our producers are sick of hearing it. I know they are, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's that important. But I worked for a coach a long time ago when I was out west, and he used to tell players all the time that my confidence puts you in the game, but your confidence keeps you in the game.
Love it. Love it.
And it's literally like it was so true. And his whole point was you have to earn the right to trust your work.
Yeah.
So when the lights come on, you've earned the right to trust your work. When Jay Wright had the phrase with Villanova, with shooting in particular, and he, because those guys had a ridiculous, they'd be in the gym at midnight, and obviously Villanova's been widely known for shooting a lot of threes, but his point with confidence was shoot it up and sleep in the streets, meaning like you've done the work. When you get to the floor, let it rip. If it doesn't go in, live with the results.
Yeah.
But you've done, so by the time that ball leaves your fingertips, there's no doubt, there's no regret. There's no, should I have shot that? Like, he doesn't want any type of hesitation. When you get to that point, you're rising up to let it go. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to live with what happened. So his whole point, shoot it up and sleep in the streets, meaning if you do your best and you end up homeless, that's, hey, so be it. Yeah. But it's not going to be because you did it out of hesitation. It's because it's literally shot.
Right. Yeah, no, I love that. Love both of it.
Yeah, because it's definitely a point where a coach can essentially kill somebody's. But to your point, if you're putting in the work, if you don't have confidence in yourself, why should somebody else have confidence in you as well? If you don't believe that you can do it, somebody else isn't going to instill it into you. But no, that's great. And I will make sure to say that those, going back to the preseason things that you were doing with all of those like different tendencies, different things that you were doing at the park, those are great. I'm happy you covered those because one, I saw them on your Instagram and I was like, all right, I have to make sure to say something about this because they have been in the back of my mind for the longest time. That's great.
Yeah. It was neat.
So taking everything full circle, looking back on your whole career from the playing career all the way up to Northern Illinois now, if there was any advice Coach J.C. Brooks would give her younger self, starting out ultimately at St. Bonaventure, what advice would you give your younger self starting in this career?
That's tough because there's a lot of things running through my mind right now. The first thing would just be stick with it. And now that I'm sitting here 18 years later, I'm happy I stuck with it because it's the best job in the world, right? It's so rewarding. It's hard, right? It is hard, but I feel like I've never worked a day in my life. I feel being around college students for the last 18 years has kept me young, that I love that. So I just reflect back and I'm just happy that I was given the opportunity in 2007 with Jim Crowley as being a director of operations, making $5,000. The second thing would be is just winning is hard. Winning is really hard. There's so much that goes into it and you always have to be on. And now as a head coach, you realize like every decision impacts the program in some manner. And it's easy to sit back as an assistant and look at your head coach and be like, oh, maybe I would handle that differently or I would do it this way. And until you're in a head coaching role, when literally every decision you make impacts your program. And it's hard, but it's just so rewarding. And I love it. I love what I get to do each and every day. And just stick with it. You got to put in the work. It's hard work, but you'll never regret it if you do those things.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's two people that can't have a bad day. Kelvin Sampson says it all the time, like your best player and your head coach.
Yep.
Like assistants may have bad days here and there, but that's the tough part about that mantle. Like you're not whatever it is, you got to get it out of your system before you leave the parking lot and head to the building.
Yes.
You know? But like you said, yeah, it's me and Doug, we joke about that all the time. It's to be able to do what we do and be able to say you're doing what you love. That alone is, we all pinch ourselves once a week, just being able to say coaching's what you do. So
yeah, no, very
great stuff.
You're so blessed.
No, I even think back just to having a day where my former head coaches that I've worked with, if they have a bad day, like I never really thought of it from that perspective before. If you think back to a day where your head coach had a bad day, or maybe didn't bring the intensity or the energy, and then he's over there yelling or she's over there yelling, why is our energy down? And so there might be some reflection there. And you never really think about it until like you mentioned it. I know we've had other people mention it on here, and you really think back and you're like, wow, okay, maybe it is a direct reflection. A lot of my personality or a lot of some of the things that I have done have been in result to my coaches that I have played under. So it's 100% a relay effect.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, and it's like we ask our players when they walk in the gym to put everything to aside, personally, academically, whatever is going on, and just you got a couple hours together, we're just focused on basketball. And it's as a coach, you have to do the same exact thing, especially as a head coach. When you walk through those doors, you are on, and whatever else is going on in your life, you just got to put to the side, because those girls deserve that. I know my girls deserve me at my best every single day. Every single day they deserve that. And I will give them that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you tell them that in recruiting, right? That's all the stuff in recruiting. Like you, as assistants, you say things in recruiting, but then as a head coach, like the things you say in recruiting, you better live them out. Like,
they'll remember.
Because they're going to go back and say, Mom and Dad, remember that coach that was so nice in recruiting? I've been here 3 weeks and she hadn't smiled one time.
Yeah, that's right. And when a recruit comes, I always make sure it's on a day where we have practice or workouts, because I tell them, like, I want you to watch me on the floor. And I want you to say, hey, I want to play for her. Or maybe I can't play for her. Because this is what you're going to get every day. I'm not going to change just because you're here watching practice. This is who I am. And hopefully it's that good fit. But I love when they're able to come watch games, practices, so they can see us in action.
Absolutely. No, that's real reality TV right there.
Yeah.
I got to say, my when I was getting recruited in college, I remember all my coach told me, everything. And he even promised me a ring, too, in his 4 years. He goes, I promise you a ring. We ended up getting it. I walked over to him, gave him a big hug, and I said, Coach, you promised this. He looked at me and goes, did I actually say that? I was like, I remember everything you told me. He goes, oh, man, I don't remember saying that. Hey, good thing we got it.
That's great.
No, but great. Coach Brooks, thank you for being on here. I know we were talking before, and obviously, like we said, that this is part of those days where preseason things are going to start revving up here soon. Thank you for just giving us the time, another opportunity to be able to talk with you, this time more individualized, but we really do appreciate you just giving us some time and talking with us, sharing some news.
And thank you both for having me on. Love it. Love chatting with you guys ever since I met you at the Final Four a few years ago. So it's been an honor to be back on the show, and thank you guys for everything you do.
No, thank you. And congrats. And in this last few days, have a beer, watch a little maybe week zero college football. I think a few games this weekend. Yeah, try to feel as human as you can before the wheels start turning next week.
I will do that. I will definitely do that.
And we'll make sure to keep an eye on Northern Illinois women's team this year, too. Definitely looking forward to that.
Appreciate
no doubt.
Coach, thank you again. And for everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. Another episode. Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo, and all you coaches out there, keep working. Keep rising, coaches. We'll see you all soon.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.